The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
And a warm hello from me, Jules Serkin. And here's the intro. To me, Jules Serkin, and hold on, I am just going to stop that. It shouldn't be playing now. But it is. Here's our song. So this is the Cheesy Tunage, which shouldn't be playing now. Have a guess, Terry. Who is it?
When I'm 64.
And you're not yet. Let's have a little listen.
Nearly.
Let's have a little listen and see what's going on. I love this song.
You way. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Ah, that was the Beatles, as Terry very wisely said. And a warm welcome if you're listening to me, Jules Serkin. And in the studio, we have, of course, Tezza, Terry Thorpe, who is our usual guest, hailing from Tenterden. And he's coming in to be my lovely co-presenter, make tea, jingle about and all that. And we also have young Charlie O'Hara, who I knew as a little horsewoman, and here she is all grown up with a job, and she's going to tell us all about it later on. She is now working for Age UK in Herne Bay and Whitstable, and we're dying to hear about them. They're a not-for-profit independent charity, and Charlie will be telling us what they're doing and what they're looking for, because they need some help, listener, and I'm sure some of you can find the odd hour. And then flanking Charlie, we have Katie Cox of the Wasted Kitchen. She's based in Monk's Hill at the refectory there, in just near Faversham, for those of you who don't know the area, Faversham in Kent. So we'll be talking later. Sorry, I'm just typing. I'm really excited about this because I stumbled into my hairdresser, Christopher. I'm doing everything here, listener, you know, because Paul Andrews is lounging in France, probably having a little snail, a little escargot now with a glass of something. He is teetotal, so he won't be having my favourite Cremon. But, yeah, so he's lounging in a little bath chair, probably by a pool, and maybe having some... what would he be having for breakfast? A little pan of chocolat or something. So... I stumbled in. I was going to have my hair done, my roots, with the lovely Christopher, who's, if you don't know Monk's Hill Farm, it overlooks the estuary and you've got these beautiful farm views. And he's got this amazing, funky place with music, and you go in, it's all glorious. And he does my roots. So I then was exploring. There's lots of peacocks running around, and we'll be talking to Katie about the peacocks, because they were, you know, lounging about and running, looking very beautiful. Yeah, so I stumbled across Katie and we were chatting, and I said, would you like to come on the Business Bunker or Scoff and Quaff? But as the lovely Paul Andrews is lounging, I decided to get Katie on here. So we'll be listening to her later on. And Tezza, a little bit of greyhound chat, because while Paul's away, you know, the mice will play. Is that a saying? I'm not quite sure. I might have made it up. But how is young Casey K9, the rescue greyhound, doing?
He's recovering from a little injury on the inside of one of his rear legs, where he scratched himself and has constantly kept trying to repair it by licking it, which makes it take 10 times as long. But hopefully now he's going to soon be back to fine fettle, and is intending to go to Tractor Fest at the weekend in Bindon, which is just down the road from us. So
very famous for a certain cider.
Well, yes.
You know, and this is cider weather, isn't it?
Well, our local cider maker has just won an international award, which was announced yesterday, which is Nightingale, who got awards for three of their ciders at an international wine and cider organisation. So that's a great fillet to them.
And you were saying about an award, weren't you?
Yeah.
Is that what you've just said?
Yes.
Sorry, my Twitter's going bananas. And we have lots going on the Twitter as well. It's been very busy, because Paul and I were saying last week, seems like a year ago, that we were very busy on the Twitter, and we thought quite a lot of people were away because children are on school holidays. But I guess people were tweeting in while they were waiting in 50-mile queues at Dover.
Well,
time on their hands.
We've received a tweet today from an unemployed radio presenter. I saw that he got in first, because obviously he wants people to remember him. He's worried about losing his position, obviously.
Yeah, what position was that, though?
Semi-retired.
Still trying to find out. He's got his bus pass, you know. Yeah, he's got everything. Run us through what's happening on the Twitter.
Right.
It's been busy, hasn't it?
Well, the latest ones we have are... @collectorsbuddy,
Lovely Martin Reeves.
Collectorsbuddy.org.uk, selling film and TV props, according to my script.
Yeah, he is. He also, I always call him Martin Reeves and the Vandellas, of course, but you have to be a certain age to get that joke. But he's often listening up in his loft, Terry, and he's an avid listener, and he collects old Lego from the 60s and 50s and whatever, and sells it for props. And he's a not-for-profit charity, and if anybody wants to sponsor him, please get in touch. Can you read out his website again, please?
collectorsbuddy.org.uk.
Love it. Who else is on the Twitter?
At Paragon Drones, which is paragondrones.co.uk.
They're back, because they were away last week. They were flying themselves. I don't think they're in a drone, but they were flying. I kind of think I've seen a few drones around, and I think they're a bit intrusive, flying over your garden and things. You could be up to anything, couldn't you?
Depends what you do in the open air, I suppose.
but I'm sure they're doing good work, Paragon Drones, and I'm sure they stick to the rules, so that's great. Who else you got?
Michael Parks Surveyors. Michaelparks.co.uk would be a website address.
And they're, sorry, I'm glugging my ginger tea. And they are, they help tenants, they help landlords, and they are also brilliant, brilliant surveyors if you're buying a property. So that's a great, great one to know. They're based in Kent, but they go all over the UK.
We have at We Do Social Media, who are always very busy on the Twitter accounts.
Yeah, and they are obviously busy tweeting, not just to us.
No, to everybody.
And we don't seem to have a sponsor this week, because Paul Andrews is away. So, you know, he can tweet me if he wants me to mention one, but I don't think we've got one. I think everybody is away, and we have one in September coming up. So I've played my tune, which is really annoying, because you were supposed to guess it, but you did guess it in the end. So that was When I'm 64 by the Beatles. And we're going to go head over to Charlie O'Hara, who's left her horse. Do you still ride, Charlie?
I do ride occasionally, yeah, but when I went to uni, I had a long break from riding.
What happened to your horse? Did it just get fat and unhealthy and unridden?
She was rather fat, but no, she's at a lovely new home, and she lives in Norfolk
now. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So she's gone to the country.
Yeah, she's definitely, she's happy and looked after there.
And we had a lovely chat the other day on the phone, didn't we? And I know you're out in the country, and your Wi-Fi, and I kept saying, stop moving, stop moving. So how is that when you work from home? You know, is it difficult, or do you find a corner where your Wi-Fi kicks in?
Yeah, I mean, I don't work from home often, but when I do, it's not too bad. We used to have issues with it, but it seems to be better. But there are definitely areas of the house that are much, much better for service.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same. Sometimes if I move about, I just miss things. I had to move from, I was with Tesco O2, which was lovely and cheap, but I wasn't getting my phone calls. I live on the seafront, as you know. So I had to move back to Vodafone, and I'm not very keen on them. But so let's talk about, you can follow them on the Twitter, Age Bay.
Yeah.
They're a not-for-profit independent charity based, I guess, in Herne Bay and Whitstable. And Charlie O'Hara is the volunteer recruiter. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of things. And if anybody wants to get involved, please either contact myself at Jules Serkin on the Twitter. You can DM me if you like. And also you can contact Age Bay. But tell me a little bit about the charity, Charlie, and what its main objective is for the community.
Yeah, so historically, Age UK's origins can be traced back to the Second World War.
Wow.
There were concerns about the older people following the war, because they were separated from their families.
Yeah.
There was no welfare state or laws to protect them, so they were left completely unsupported. And that's kind of where the charity was born. So it started to help reduce isolation, poverty and neglect. So that's a bit of background.
Yeah.
And then more recently, Age Concern came together with Help the Aged in 2009.
So they've combined to make it stronger, bigger, more powerful.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And then in 2010, we officially rebranded as Age UK. So Age UK is the country's leading charity dedicated to helping everyone make the most of later life.
Mm-hmm.
So our aims really focus on reducing loneliness and isolation and to kind of help improve the health and well-being of older people. And nationally, kind of Age UK themselves are really involved in research. So they kind of research the needs of older people and help to develop services and produce campaigns that we use both nationally and locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they help 7 million older people a year.
That's absolutely brilliant because, you know, thinking about it, we're all going to get old one day. I know when you're your age, it seems a long way off, and so it should. Enjoy it while you can, you know, because when you're young, you really don't, I don't know whether you have the confidence and that. And I just wish, looking back, Terry, that when I was 20, 21, 22, I knew what I knew now. Do you agree? I can't see you. I'm looking round the screen at you.
I'm still here. I'm not really hiding.
You're not eating those cakes, are you?
No, I'm staying well away from
them. It's a full-time job being a co-presenter, you know.
I know. I'm doing my tweets.
Yeah, but, you know, we're all going to get old one day, aren't we?
Some of us are there already.
Yes, exactly. Well, Paul Andrews has, you know, already got his bus pass, as I pointed out. So it's a hugely important thing. And I think, of course, in lockdown, a lot of elderly were really, really stuck and frightened, of course. So tell me a little bit, Charlie, about your role at Age UK. What's your sort of day-to-day?
Yeah, so my role is, so I very recently joined the team, but my title is Volunteer Recruiter, Social Media and Community Engagement Worker.
So you're doing rather a lot of stuff.
It's quite a long title.
Just the social media would be a full-time job.
Definitely, yeah. But it's quite dynamic, and essentially I aim to recruit more volunteers, as well as managing all our social media pages. And a large part of my role involves community engagement, so kind of getting out in the local community to work with local businesses and groups and kind of help promote the services we provide for local older people in the community in order to support them better.
So do you get any older people volunteering, you know, older people that have got great, you know, I've got a guy, a gardener, Ron, and he shocked me. He's 75 and he's like a racing greyhound, you know, and he's comes around in his vest and his shorts and his trainers. And so do you get active elderly helping less active elderly?
Yes, definitely. I mean, a large proportion of our volunteers are kind of older people that, you know, usually have more time on their hands. They might be retired, semi-retired. I know that we had someone in our day centre where kind of people can come and socialise, that might be housebound and things like that, and someone helped out that was over 100 years old, and she was amazing.
Wow.
Super active.
Wow.
And you just wouldn't guess.
I'd like to know what her secret is, you know, whether it's her lifestyle, her diet, her positivity, or where are your day centres?
Yeah, so we have two day centres, and they're at our centre in Herne Bay. So we're on 16 Reculver Road in Herne Bay. We have two main day centres at our site. We have a Hazel Neville Dementia Daycare Centre.
Mm-hmm.
And then we offer social opportunities in our Bradbury Day Centre.
Where's that?
So that's our site in Herne Bay.
Okay.
So they're actually, physically in our site. We have.
So what's your headquarters like? Is it big or small? I've never been.
It's reasonably big. I think it's bigger than people imagine.
Mm.
There's a few other charities there that rent space, such as Crossroads.
What do Crossroads do? Do you know? If you don't know, it's fine.
Sure.
No. We'll go knocking on their door and find out, shall we?
Yeah, but they're all a very lovely bunch.
Okay.
So it is quite a big centre. It's quite modern as well, you know, a lovely garden. So, it's really great.
So do people sit outside and have, you know, social time, which is really not important?
Yeah, exactly. So people that come to, for example, the Dementia Day Centre, they enjoy loads of kind of different activities throughout the day, but they also enjoy going outside. It's just lovely even to sit out in the summer.
Yeah. Oh, we've been embracing it, haven't we? So anybody can go, anybody of a certain age? Do you have a sort of cut-off point under a certain age, 60 or upwards? Or
I believe it's our services are mainly over the age of 50. For the Hazel Neville Centre, it will be older people that have a dementia diagnosis, because it's a specialised centre with specialised staff for those people. Lots of our... we have lots of different services, both within the community and at the centre. For example, we run a COGS club at the centre, which is modelled on cognitive stimulation therapy. Mm. Again, for those with kind of memory problems or a dementia diagnosis.
So do you have experts coming in to do that, and consultants and trainers and people?
Yeah, so we have two lovely ladies, Bev and Carol, who run the COGS Club. So, yeah, they're trained. I don't really know what their kind of title is, but, yeah, they run the clubs and they're trained in kind of offering cognitive stimulation therapy. And they're great. I mean, I've been to the club. It's super fun. They do a lot of singing and kind of memory activities, and we played card games.
Excellent. My mum is 91 and she goes to a choir every Tuesday and she absolutely loves it, you know, and she's made a little group of friends there and they've just broken up for the summer like schools do and they're not back till September, but they're still keeping in touch with each other, which is really nice, and going out for coffee and things like that. So that's great.
Yeah, it's so lovely.
And what about during... the awful COVID lockdowns, which were so difficult for young and old and medium aged people like me, it was very, very difficult for all of us. So what was it like during the COVID lockdowns? What did you have to put in place, and have you got back to normal now? Are you back up and running as normal?
Yeah, I mean, COVID obviously undoubtedly had such a huge impact on everyone. It definitely had a significant impact on older people. We found that during the pandemic, you know, older people faced extreme levels of loneliness and anxiety, and also like worsening health, you know, weight loss, malnutrition, and pain from untreated medical conditions. So, I mean, a lot of older people that are housebound or, you know, have low mobility were even more housebound, so this took a massive hit on, you know, their well-being. I know that Age UK nationally undertook a survey to better understand the impact of COVID on older people, and so I've got some findings from that survey. One in three older people had less energy. One in four older people were unable to walk as far as before.
Gosh.
And one in five felt less steady on their feet. And for me, one of the most shocking statistics was that the proportion of older, over 70s experiencing depression doubled since the start of the pandemic.
It's frightening, isn't it? And I think my mum actually said something very wise. She lived through the war as a young girl. And she said during the war, we could hug each other. And of course, there was this thing about not touching. And I've actually got a photo of Mother's Day when I went round to my mum's garden during, you know, when we were all terrified right at the very beginning. And it was a very cold Mother's Day. When is Mother's Day? March, isn't it? Or something.
Yeah,
end of March. So we literally were terrified of going in the house with my mum because we thought, you know, mainstream media was telling us that we were going to murder them. So I put my mum in her summer house, wrapped up in these blankets, and then my husband and I sat on the other side of the garden with food that we brought and wine and stuff. It was ridiculous. And I look back at that photo, I just think I was bonkers. You know, the whole world was bonkers. So I think you've done an amazing job. And to get their confidence back, do you think you're having to work a bit harder on that as a team?
Yeah, so I mean, during the COVID pandemic, we focused on kind of getting out into the community. So we adapted and kind of ran some of our services virtually, such as, you know, virtual COGS Club. So I know that during the 15 months since the first national lockdown, we delivered over 38,000 hot meals.
Wow, that's incredible.
A lot of meals.
And do you have your own van, or how, not you personally, but your team? I don't expect you to do that and the social media. But you have drivers, or?
Yeah, so our hot meal delivery service, something I'll talk about in a minute, but it is basically we cook fresh meals from our kitchen. We have chefs at our centre.
I love that they're fresh meals. That's and we'll be bringing Katie in later, and I'm sure I can see her making notes, you know. So Katie Cox will be talking to us later, and she'll be, I'm sure, having some ideas for that. Carry on.
Yes. So, yeah, basically we then deliver them to local older people's houses. So, you know, a lot of people can't cook for themselves or are housebound.
And also eating on your own sometimes isn't much fun, is it?
No, exactly. So this is a service where, yeah, like I said, we deliver hot meals to their doors.
And delicious.
That's volunteer-led as a service. So it relies on our volunteer meal delivery drivers.
So we're going to be talking about that in a minute. But, I mean, I think the thing is that when I'm on my own, and I'm not a pensioner, Paul Andrews, are you listening? I'm not a pensioner. Much younger than you, in fact. But even when my new husband's travelling and he's away, when I'm on my own, I can't really be bothered to cook much, and I sort of get a bit of crab or something. I get some fresh crab and I'll just have it watching a film or something, because it's just not the same. But I think if the meal's delivered to you, then it's half the battle, isn't it?
Exactly. And I mean, like I mentioned earlier with malnutrition during the COVID pandemic, I think it's great to be able to provide a service where you have, you know, fresh, nutritious meals delivered to people that, like I said, you know, might be not be able to cook for themselves or are housebound. So it really acts as a lifeline for these people. But as you mentioned earlier about the confidence, obviously, during COVID, we were able to carry out kind of one-to-one visits in people's homes where they had lost confidence to return to the centre. And we even kind of walked people's dogs as well.
That's a real service.
And we carried out kind of telephone befriending hours. So we do have a befriending service at the centre. So this is where befriending volunteers will go out into the local community matched with an older person and kind of just go over once a week, have a chat, have a cup of tea. But obviously because of COVID, we weren't able to do that. So we instead carried out, telephone befriending hours and things like that. So it's just about adapting, really.
That is a really good thing. So how do elderly people, if they have hard of hearing, how does that work with telephones? Are some of them struggling to listen on a phone? And then can you just send someone round instead? Or how does it work? Do you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, during like I said, with COVID, when we offered telephone befriending calls, I think at the end, when restrictions eased a bit, we were able to kind of visit them in their gardens. So that was great for
them. Oh, yeah, great idea, of
contact. Course. But, yeah, I'm not entirely sure about hard of hearing, but the great thing about our befriending service is it is kind of a face-to-face, you know, socialisation with a real person. And for these older people that are so isolated, it's amazing, really, to have that consistent.
So the Business Bunker, Charlie, is asking listeners to get involved if they can. So do you want to tell us how people can get involved and what opportunities you're looking at the moment?
Yeah, so I will kind of describe some of our volunteering opportunities first, because we have so many, and I think it's so important.
I'll give you Paul Andrews' number after the show. He'd love to volunteer.
That'd be great to have him with us.
Yeah, he's a very good driver.
But we have loads of different and exciting opportunities, really. Like I said earlier, meal delivery drivers, to day centre assistants.
So what does a day centre assistant do?
So, like I said, with our day centres, we also have volunteers as well as staff. And they'll kind of help. I mean, it's a lot of fun doing puzzles with people, maybe doing quizzes, maybe making tea for people.
Brilliant. Just being there and some cognitive and some chatting and some social.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even just chatting with people.
Amazing.
So, yeah, there's loads of things. I mean, we also have something called Shed Heads. That's a bit of a funny one.
What is that?
Yeah. It's a group of men that basically we have a little area on our site, and they come in and they are pretty talented and they make the most amazing things out of donations. So we get donated materials like wood and timber and things like that, and one of the most popular things they make is mud kitchens. Have you heard of those?
No, I have never heard of a mud kitchen. Katie Cox is nodding. Have you heard of one? Do tell.
I have heard of a mud kitchen.
This is Katie.
Brilliant. Hi.
Hello.
So a mug kitchen is an outdoor kitchen for kids to have a play at.
Basically. Oh, so what, the children are making cakes out of mud? Mud pies. Yes. Non-edible, I take it.
Non-edible. Oh, they probably eat it.
And now, yeah. Katie's a chef, so how she's heard of mud kitchens, I don't know.
I've got a six-year-old.
Okay. So,
yeah, no, they are a lot of fun, and they're definitely something that, like I said, are really popular. But, yeah, so Shedheads is... it's just a kind of place to come for socialisation and just kind of, like I said, to make things from. It's a group of men, local, and, yeah, they just enjoy making various bits and bobs.
So they're creative.
Materials, definitely, yeah.
Wow. I know a really good joiner. I've got a little story about this that you might like to listen to and Terry might like. So you know that Paul and I are very much into supporting local businesses and SMEs. And I ordered a blanket chest from the Cotswold Company. It sounds like a nice English company, doesn't it? And it came. It was very nice. It was white. And it absolutely reeked of varnish. I mean, ponged. And I took it outside and I cleaned it and I aired it and I left it open. A couple of weeks later, it still really smelt the whole room out. So I got in touch and I said, you know, I can't live with this. It's really, really horrible varnish. I suspect it was not made in the Cotswold place. It was made in China. So they did take it back. They were a very good company. And I took a picture of it and took it to a local craftsman. I think he'd be a joiner, I'm not quite sure, or a carpenter, I never know what they are. And he made an identical one, and he matched the price, which was 250 quid. It's beautifully made. He painted it and everything. And so, you know, that's what excites me. So I guess your guys are creatives like that.
They're amazing. I mean, they make the most kind of detailed, kind of like little figurines.
Mm.
I honestly don't know how they do it, but yeah, I mean, it is great because I guess it's so different. And in terms of volunteering opportunities, it's not your standard opportunity. So you want
drivers, you want also these creative people that might be able to make things.
Yeah.
Men in sheds.
Yeah, men's shed. Yeah.
Men's shed.
And then befrienders. We always have kind of those available. Again, like I said, people that just probably local to the area.
That have time.
Yeah.
And would have interests that you might match. So if people like gardening or sewing or knitting, that sort of thing. I mean, I'm stereotyping elderly because, I mean, a lot of elderly love amazing things. Can you think of any other things that they might like? Because, like, my mum loves singing, she loves music, she loves dancing. She's not very typical. But she, that generation, are very crafty. Like, they'll sew on buttons, they'll do hems, they'll make things, won't they? They grew up like that.
Yeah.
They don't waste stuff. Bringing back Katie again, of course. She'll be talking about the wasted kitchen. But so that kind of befriender, do you sort of match interests?
Yeah, so we have a befriending... coordinator, and so what she'll do is she'll kind of match a befriender with an older person, and when they have their first visit, she'll go out and kind of just make sure that, you know, everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they have a chat, they can kind of get in touch again and say whether they'd like to continue with that person.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
if they've gelled or they feel comfortable.
Exactly. So yeah. No, it's a great one.
I think that's brilliant. Now, you've got an open morning coming up, I believe.
We do, yes. So we have an open morning. It's on the 17th of September, and it's between 10 a.m. and 11:30. Basically, if you're interested in any of our volunteering opportunities or would like to kind of learn about our community engagement work or anything like that, then it's kind of a great time to come and to have a look around the centre and have a chat to us.
I think it's amazing. So, sorry, I wasn't concentrating. The 17th of September, where will it be?
So it will be at our centre, which is 16 Rockover Road in
Bombay.
And
the postcode, do you know that?
I might have it on here.
But don't worry, we'll find it later. So it's 16 Recolwa Road, which is Herne Bay.
In Herne Bay.
That's the main road that comes off the old Thanet Way or the
it
new.
Does.
Yeah.
It is easy to get to.
Exactly. So that's on the 17th of September.
Yes.
And could you read us out your website? 3Ws dot.
Yep. So 3W.ageuk.org.uk and then / Herne Bay and Whitstable.
Brilliant. So you're very much in the area, but there's lots of villages around, like Beltinge, and I'm trying to think of all the names, and Recolwa, and loads of villages. Seasalter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're listening, Business Bunker listeners, I'm sure you'd love to help out. We'd love to hear how you get on as well. Just keep in touch with us and let us know. And so you're also, Charlie, looking for the volunteer call-out meal delivery drivers.
Yes, exactly.
So how does that work? They must have a driving licence, I get that. So do they need a vehicle?
I believe you do need a vehicle,
okay.
Yes. But we, like with all our volunteering roles, we believe that, you know, volunteering shouldn't cost. So we always provide travel expenses at 45 pence a mile.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's just helping to just support our meal delivery service. As I said before, you know, by delivering the hot meals to older people's houses, it runs between 11:30 and 1:30 every day. But kind of volunteers can choose a day that suits them. It's just as much or as little time as you can get.
Which is brilliant because there's, you know, you can always find one day or one morning or, you know, something like that. And presumably it's weekends as well, is it?
It is, yeah. It
so if people have got a weekend free, they work in the week, they could do that?
Yeah, definitely. I know, I think it's a really rewarding role because, you know, a lot of older people do rely on it, so they're super appreciated. And, just to mention that also an induction and DBS are provided, but no cost to the volunteer.
That's brilliant. And I just think it's a great what you're doing. We're all, as I said, Terry, we're all going to be old one day. So you're listening in, Terry. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's expanding a larger organisation than the one that came on here a few weeks ago, which is based in Tenterden, which is looking after dementia and elderly and offering a Meals on Wheels service. But
I
obviously
remember
hasn't
that.
Got the large structure that Age UK have. Talking of dementia, Mr. Andrews has just remembered that he's actually a trustee of Age UK in Medway.
Oh,
and he also remembered that his old mum, as he put it, uses the Maidstone facility, which is wonderful. So it's gradually coming through to him that these things do engage with him. So he's involved in the show, even though he's in foreign parts.
Yeah, he's just sitting there with a little camembert.
Yes,
now, pressed with garlic.
Main issue with this is that why are we having to do everything charity based?
Yeah.
Why are we not able to produce more for the elderly, for the disadvantaged, from the enormous amounts of money sloshing around the country? And we won't get political.
Well, no, let's get political, because you've got the bit between your teeth. I mean, I agree. And I think we, when I see, you know, where I live, as I said, there's a lot of elderly people. And we, like on our promenade in Tankerton now, Canterbury City Council have allowed bikes. It was a promenade and they've allowed bikes. And previously, before they gave permission for cyclists to go on there, it's a narrow promenade, it's not wide. Cyclists would go along, but because they weren't allowed, they would go along really slowly. Now it's become part of a cycle route. There are races on it. We get four abreast. Now it's bad enough for me walking the dog, and we get jingle belled and told to get out of the way. And if you dare stop on the promenade to have a natter with another dog walker, you get shouted at by said cyclist in Lycra. And so, you know, to be elderly, put yourself in that where they can't hear them sometimes and they're walking on the promenade. So I think we all need to. There was a study once that I saw on the telly where some celebrity put on, he made his hearing, you know, he stopped his hearing and he stopped his sight, and he was trying to pretend to be, you know, perhaps think what it was like being 90 or 91. My mum would kill me because she's very sprightly. But, you know, some people can't walk at that age. Some people can't hear or see. So I think we need to just put ourselves in their shoes. And the things like supermarkets now, where it's all self-checkout, like a young kid, they're used to it. They can just do it with their little thumbs. But for an elderly person, they need the chat. You know, they need help sometimes with putting stuff in bags. And I'm not elderly, and I can't do those self-checkouts. Tessa?
Well, it's obviously all driven by cost, which we all appreciate. But the elderly going into a shop want the social interaction.
Yes.
They'd rather go to the corner shop,
yes,
and spend probably a pound or two more on the few items they want, but actually chat to somebody,
yeah,
and take up far too much time for the people in a hurry,
mm,
who want to go in and just flash their card and walk off with their whatever. But it is the social part of this thing. And the elderly have lived through some very, very hard times. Unfortunately, we're probably returning to those hard times, and in 12 months' time, this conversation will be a lot worse than it is now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about the interaction. I mean, we're lucky enough to have still our high street shop, so we've got a butcher and a baker, dry cleaners, a pet shop, so we're really, really lucky. And, you know, that generation will count out their change to the last penny beautifully. You know, I mean, Charlie, do you use cash?
I don't know. I was just going to say.
Do you remember what cash is?
I do. I know.
But like my mum will go, oh, look, I've got the 10p. Would you like that? And, you know, but things are hurried now, aren't they?
It's awful as well, because I think it comes down to convenience. I know that, you know, on an iPhone you have an Apple Wallet.
Yes,
so
it's my downfall.
I always just use that, and it is really bad because I just think, I don't think cash is going to be around for that much longer, really.
I think we all need to make an effort to use cash. And I mean, there's some market stall holders I know that do, and there's a lovely plants man in Canterbury City Council's area in Canterbury High Street. He's cash only. My fish and chips, one of them is cash only, and our local cafe, Seaview Cafe, is cash only. So when I go to get Darcy Greyhound some Greyhound ice cream, I always have to make sure I've got cash on me, Terry.
No, the problem is half the banks now don't even take cash. I went into one in Ashford a few weeks ago and said, I want to pay some cash in. Sorry, we don't have cash here. You'd need to go to another branch halfway to Outer Mongolia.
That's bonkers.
It's an alien concept. Banks not dealing in cash.
It's crazy. Well, I don't know if you remember last weekend. I was saying to Paul Andrews, the lovely Paul Andrews, that my new husband queued up to Lloyd's, which is our bank for 100 years, in Whitstable High Street, which is a thriving, busy high street with loads of tourists. And he queued up, and they all went in and unlocked and said hello. And then he went in, and he wanted to withdraw some cash, more than the cash, you know, the box, the hole in the wall would give. And they said, oh, no, you can't withdraw cash here. He was furious. So, like you, he had to drive to Herne Bay or out of Mongolia. So it's a bit worrying. I know people that are getting generators. This is another show. Paul will be screaming now. Getting generators, bottling fruit and veg, and buying candles because of the winter, but actually buying generators. So that's another show. We need a generator person, maybe Bob Beattie if he's listening.
What are they going to run the generators on?
Because
they need fuel before they'll start generating.
Yeah, maybe. Is there nothing else? Is it only petrol?
Petrol or diesel.
Yeah, okay. So.
Or you could get an electric generator, but then that's rather sort of...
Defeats the object.
A defeat, yeah.
And you can't run them off solar or anything, can you?
Possibly if you've got enough solar spare capacity, but we're all going into the realms of fantasy, I think.
Yeah, well, fantasy is my one weakness. So just to round off, Charlie, can you give us a shout for your... I know your Twitter is Age Bay, which is very easy, so find them on the Twitter, Age Bay. DM them if you want to find out more or get involved in the Herne Bay and the Whitstable areas. And what about, are you on Instagram or Facebook or anything?
Yep, so we're on Instagram, and that's at AGKHBW, and we are on Facebook. I believe that's AGK Herne Bay and Whitstable on Facebook.
Okay, that's brilliant. I am just seeing... Paul Andrews saying he's just remembered he's a trustee of Age UK Medway. So I'm going to give you Paul Andrews' number after the show, and remind me if I don't. And you can phone up and chat to him and see if you can get him over our way.
That'd be great.
So there you are. And Stephanie Young is listening in. Incredible job, she says, you're doing, Age Bay. If I was local, I'd certainly volunteer for befriending services. So blown away. Now, Stephanie is not local. She's based in South Africa. And she's a socialpreneur. You can follow her on Steph Youngzar, Young and then ZA. And she's a digital marketing expert. And she's a marketing agency. But I wonder if they've got anything out there in South Africa similar. I guess the culture in South Africa is very different. That, you know, family like India and Africa, they sort of, and Greece, I'm thinking, they love their elderly. They live with them and they're very much part of the family rather than putting them into isolation. So that's great. Well, everybody get in touch, and I'd like to say a big shout out for Bev and Carol, if they're listening, and also to the befriending service at Age UK, Herne Bay and Whitstable. That's brilliant. Okay, so we got a couple of adverts to play. I'm totally out of sync because I was going to play these earlier. Let's play these ads and see if they work. And then we'll come back to Tezza, and then, of course, we'll have the news.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
And a warm welcome back. I hope you made a little cuppa during those adverts. And if you want to advertise with the Business Bunker, do get in touch to either myself, Jules Serkin, give us a little DM, or the lovely Vanilla Webb on the Twitter, which is where we spend most of our time. And we'll be coming up to the news soon. So, Terry, any more little emails? You've got some news? What's going on?
We've got one here from What's On in Kent, which is an app, and you can find out what's happening in the Garden of England with obviously events and gatherings and walks and talks and all those other vital things to keep us outside before the rain hits us.
Yeah, well, apparently it started raining today. I put all my cushions away in my garden because we've been living like, you know, the south of France, cushions out, umbrellas up, parasols, and it started raining, and then I heard someone on BBC News saying it was the wrong kind of rain. So it's like, do you know about that, the wrong kind of rain?
Well, I got wet when I called in at Tesco's on the way through, so that was the wet sort of rain.
Yes, and my new husband isn't really naughty, because when he borrows my car, he rearranges it. Not only does he bamboozle the seat and make it all the wrong way around, but he also hides my umbrella in the boot, so, you know. Yeah, if he's listening. What else is going on, Terry?
We have Balfour Winery, who are based in Staplehurst, have a summer cocktail evening on Thursday. This Thursday. Mm-mm. So you've got hours to wait until you can go and indulge in cocktails.
Day after mañana.
And it is balfourwinery.com. It's a fantastic location. We had an ATTA meeting there a couple of months ago.
What's ATTA?
Ashford and Tenterden Tourism Association did.
Oh, okay.
So we had an annual general meeting there. We partook of some of the libations they offer, and they did us a little snack to soak it up.
Did you try the Balfour Blush? Did they have that?
Yes.
It's my one weakness, Terry.
I'll get a VAT arranged for you. And then we have Tom Elf, which is ELPH, which is Thompson.
I thought you meant like an elf.
No,
you know,
no.
A little green hat.
Different letter, dear.
Okay.
ThompsonElphick.co.uk, who are progressive accountants.
That's what we all need.
No, we need aggressive accountants. Like we have aggressive attorneys when you go to America.
Well, I made a plea last, and welcome to them because they're new listeners. I made a plea last week. If anybody, any good mortgage advisors are listening, because Mimi, my daughter-in-law, is a first-time buyer, and she's buying a flat with Che, my son, who is a second-time buyer. So they're buying a hugely expensive cupboard in London. But because she's buying with him, she doesn't get her first-time buyer thing. So they've got to pay like 17 grand stamp duty, and I think that's a bit unfair. Why should she lose it?
I have a possibility for
you. Do you know, Terry, I thought you might.
I have a friend who is a mortgage consultant, and I'll give you all the details afterwards.
Fantastic. I knew you'd know because, you know, you're the type. You sort of know everyone, don't you? And you're going to be telling us later on in the after the news about what's going on in your neck of the woods in Tenterton and all your gubbins that you're doing.
Yes.
Can't wait for that. Can you read me a little email? You got any there?
No, we've run out of little emails that I was prompted with. We have a sponsor, a piece of information, if you'd like to...
Lots more, you know. We get it sent in, you know, hundreds.
I have a...
You have to work before you have your cake.
Right.
He's brought in lovely cakes.
We have an exciting year ahead for the oldest law society in the country, as big-name sponsors in Kent announce support of their endeavours. That was a mouthful.
Yeah.
McBride's Chartered Accountants is proud to announce its sponsorship of the Kent Law Society for the 2022-2023 presidential year. The KLS was established in 1818 and lays claim to being the oldest law society in the country. The not-for-profit organisation, I got one of them, exists to promote the interest of the legal profession in Kent, aiming to provide a strong voice for the profession and promote common links that bind. KLS President Nick Fairweather said of the partnership, "We are delighted to be renewing the long-standing relationship between KLS and McBride's, interrupted during the COVID years. This time around in a new partnership package, which I believe can provide a lasting platform that will be mutually beneficial and effective. We would not be able to achieve anything without the generous support of our sponsors, and I look forward to working with the McBride's team on all the events and other initiatives we have planned for my year." Over the years, McBride's has established a reputation for delivering high quality advice and tax and accounting services to the legal sector in the southeast. The KLS will be supported by six sponsors this year who all cooperate on an even platform with no hierarchy. It is hoped that this model will help to provide support to KLS members and deliver a successful year for the society.
Beautiful. You know what it's like now in the hot desk, don't you? Keep breathing, Terry, and read another one.
You need shorter scripts.
Well, I do say to PRs when they're sending in for radio, make it succinct. There you are, Charlie. When your team send us press releases, which they're very welcome to do it for radio.
10 words.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
Here we go. A huge former Saga offices building could be turned into new housing designed by an award-winning architect. Plans have been submitted to convert the four-storey Cheriton Park site on the outskirts of Folkestone into flats and erect houses on the adjacent car park. The travel and insurance firm, which has its headquarters a short distance away in Sandgate, has drastically reduced its office space after the pandemic, so it shed jobs and switched to working from home.
Mm.
Cheriton Park, just past Tesco in the Cheriton High Street, was put up for sale by property agent Sibley Pears along with Saga's Middleburg Square offices in Folkestone Town Centre and its call centre at the Eurokent Business Park in Ramsgate. A planning application submitted to Folkestone and Hythe District Council proposed the office building, which was originally constructed for the Channel Tunnel, becoming 31 one-bed and two-bed flats.
Yeah, I'm glad they're doing one and two-bed flats. That's great, apart from these, you know, great big five-bedroom things that they've been doing. And I hope they'll put some solar panels on it and stuff like that. Ramsgate's turning into a really... Ramsgate and Folkestone turning into real foodie places, aren't they, Tezo? Have you been lately? Do you ever take the Casey Canine?
No, I get as far as Whitstable. But then... they're now going further down towards the sea. I'm just worried what's going to happen when they run out at Ramsgate, because they can't really go much further then, can they?
What are you talking about? House building or greyhounds?
And restaurants and...
I thought you were talking about greyhounds.
No.
I thought Mike can run much further than that.
Oh, he doesn't travel that way.
What, with the building?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the trouble is the prices are escalating everywhere. All the local inhabitants who want to live close to where they grew up and their families can't afford to live there anymore. Mm. We got the DFLs taking over the world.
Yeah.
And another little rant.
Well, the National Express is sending coaches down, and all the trains now go from London, Victoria, I think, and around to all our coastal areas, which is great for the businesses. You know, they need the tourists and stuff like that as well. But it's certainly getting crowded my way. I love Little Ships in Ramsgate. Craig Maver, my lovely friend chef there, it's really, really good food. And Folkestone had a real buzz, and they got that nice farmers market there, which I like, by the train sort of bit, the train station-y thing. So that's great. So yeah, I love what we're doing, and it's still busy in winter now as well. If they just keep the loos open a bit longer in winter, because they do tend to close them when you're out walking.
Well, they come knocking on your door like they have been recently.
Exactly. You're listening to me, Jules Serkin, if you just tuned in on the Business Bunker. Our guest, Charlie O'Hara from Age UK, Herne Bay and Whitstable. And also Katie Cox of Waster Kitchen, based in near Faversham. You're going to be hearing from her after the news. And in the driving seat with me, it's Terry Thorpe. You can find him on @TerryTTG. And we're going to go over to the news. It gives you time to either catch up with what's happening in the world or have a little break, go make yourself a cup of tea, and don't forget to join us after. If you want to tweet us, of course, it's @JulesSerkin and @TerryTTG, as I just said. Please use the hashtag BusinessBunker. We'd love to hear how you're getting on in the business world. And, we'll be speaking to you after the break. But, Terry, just before we go, we've got a little minute. Have you got any small things to read? A minute one.
You can now get solar generators.
He's so good. Look at him. Straight onto a minute one. Go on.
See? So that's it, you see? A generator running on solar power.
Oh, you can?
You can.
Did someone send you that?
Well, not someone. That chap who's retired from doing the job that you're now doing.
He's listening in then.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
He is alert.
Well, I've just WhatsApped him. He's not listening properly, because I said, do I press this red one pre-news? And he hasn't answered.
He can't remember.
No.
It's been too long.
Yeah. So you can get solar ones?
Yes.
Okay. But we need Bob Beattie on, because apparently it's really hard to get solar panels at the moment because everybody's getting them.
Paragon Drones have also said you could get solar panelled generators. So.
Excellent. Well, that's what I want. Well, I was... somebody tweeted me about their son who'd got a generator, and his bill... get this, was, I think it was £1.96, his actual bill. So I quite fancied that.
Power of the sun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we certainly had that this year, haven't we? Let's go over to the news. And I think I'm still a bit early. I need to rattle on a bit more. You got another one? Go on. I've got to get this timing right.
Waffle.
And if anybody's listening with solar panels who can put one into Whitstable, I'd love to hear from them. And they can come on the show, of course. Of course, Terry.
Of course. Countdown.
Yeah.
It says. I've got a friend of mine who runs two cars and his whole household from solar panels.
Really?
And sells electric back to the grid.
Oh, that's great. I didn't think people could still do that.
Yeah.